Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Senior Pastor Reggie Green.
Good relationships is the fabric of the kingdom. It's the fabric of the church. And it's like the better the relationships are, the better the friendships are, the stronger the marriages are, everything. All of it, that strengthens our ministry. It strengthens our church. Helps us make impact in the world, you know. And so I want to encourage you to come immediately after church. It'd be a blessing. Food's going to be good. I think it's being catered. I don't even know who the caterer is, but they're bringing a caterer in to cook. It ain't like me barbecuing. They're bringing somebody real in. So it's going to be good. So everybody's invited. And you notice it wasn't like a family day. It's not like family. We invite all kinds of people. No, it's basically for who's sitting here right now. And we just want you to come and let it be a blessing, okay? Ephesians chapter 6. Let me find that myself. How many going through trials and struggles? Anybody struggling? Yeah, great. I'm glad you are. Hallelujah. I kid you not. Do you know that a butterfly, I think I use this, if you help a butterfly out of its cocoon, when the butterfly is struggling to get out, in fact, one man, that's when I first read this, he said he took a razor blade and opened the cocoon, the butterfly comes out, but it will never ever be able to fly, because God ordained that struggle that butterfly goes through to like pump the life juices, the blood, the whatever's in that insect, into the wings and to make it strong so that after it goes through that struggle, it is able to take flight and fulfill its destiny. That's what the struggle is about. And I can't, like I said, you look at the world, the people struggle all the time. There's no, you know, even I've been living for God 34 years and it's like, you know, it's an up and a down, an up and a down thing. I'm not talking about going down spiritually and emotionally and all that, but I'm just talking about sometimes it's peace and peace can be for a while. And then other times there's drama and there's issues and there's problems to work through. Things have to be hashed out and bills and raising kids and you guys and going to college. There's some here, I think, that are going, you're going to, I know Reggie and I know Beto is. They're in working a job, pastoring in the church, Christie's in ministry, they got brand new kids, brand new babies. I mean, can you imagine all the, that's a lot of responsibility, a lot of things, you know, and then you don't want to go into the world. Like I said, these guys have the ability to make lots of money in other places, but their commitment to God forces them to make sacrifices, and so they're trying to juggle all that, and so there's always something. There's always something. And I like to say, I don't think we ought to be whining and crying and complaining about the things that we go through, but I really believe that we need to say, God, make me stronger through this. Make me stronger. God, I'm not in such a big hurry for it to go away more than I am for me to get closer to you and to grow in you and to have a greater revelation and understanding of you. Are you with me today? How many want to fly like the butterfly? How many want to soar and fulfill their destiny? How many of you willing to struggle, to embrace the struggle in order for that to happen? Come on now. And I'm up. Somebody got mad at me and left our church because I was talking about whiners. And it was the way I make, did I say that? The way I make.
Yeah, I don't want to struggle and I've got problems and I don't know why my life is like this and all that.
And so they got mad at me because I said that. They're not in our church anymore. And I had to explain why I mock whiners. And it's because we're the most powerful people on earth. It's because we have the Spirit of the living God inside of us. And if we are still whining and crying and complaining, even when we know that God is going to help us and move for us, and he's blessed us before, he's going to bless us now, there's no difference between the lion and the bear and the giant. Are you with me? There's no difference. So why would we whine and complain about our life and about the things that we go through? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And I'm saying this because I almost felt myself whining. I wasn't whining, but I almost had my tail between my legs. You know what I mean? Like a wet dog. You know, I was feeling that, man. Like it's like the woe is, you know, you ever feel sorry for yourself? You ever pity yourself, man? And it's like, you know, and I could feel it. And that's not my nature. That's not how I roll. But I could feel this thing coming on me, you know. And I got, and like I said, after all the years of living for God, you know what I got to do? I have to fight just like every person here today. And I have to step up and fulfill my obligations and be the man of God God has called me to be, and be the husband and be the father and be the pastor. I have to do this even today. And so guess what? I want you to roll like I roll and come the same direction. And I believe God is going to help. And I want to speak to you about fighting. And we're going to believe God to help us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, one of the most powerful places in the Bible. I like it, man. I like the words. I like the language. I can feel the Spirit. See if you can feel this with me. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And I like this part. And having done all, to stand. Now, that's bad to me. This is a Christian. This is a born-again believer, man. This is someone who has a relationship with God, and he is speaking from the heart. Verse 14, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance, it's like Paul says, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, in this place of scripture, just to give you a little background, Paul, the apostle, the great preacher, teacher, minister, the evangelist, he is locked up and he is in prison, not for slinging coke, not for selling drugs, not for pimping, not for street racing, not for doing something stupid. He is in jail because he is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has a mandate. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He was driven by a love and a genuine care for people, that they would be delivered from false religion, that they would meet Christ and have a genuine relationship with him. And he didn't care what anybody said. He didn't care what was done to him. He didn't care about the persecution. He didn't care about people rejecting him. Paul was a preacher, a teacher, and a minister. He is called by God to do what he is doing, and he's not letting anybody stop him. That is the kind of people we need in 2018, where all of us have a genuine understanding of our calling. I'm not talking about call to do this and call to do that and call to sing and call to play the bass or call to nursery. I'm talking about being called unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one calling in the Bible. And that is that we would be called unto Christ. And when we respond to that, then Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, begins to issue out what we're going to do and how and what place in the church we're going to fill. And how many of you know that even changes from time to time? You know, it trips me out when people, I don't want to come to this church because I don't have a place to express my gift. And I don't get, you know what I mean? Sorry, I'm mocking whiners again. But anyway, nonetheless, I said, we signed the contract that we're going to serve God. It's all blank. Just sign your name and God fills in the rest. Come on now. Are you with me on that one? It's not like we get to pick and choose about what we're going to do, what we're going to be, and where we're going to roll, how we're going to go. Jesus, our Savior, he calls the shots. He calls the shots. And so here's Paul. He is in jail. He is in prison. Not at the Twin Towers. He's in some nasty, stinky dungeon, and he is writing these letters to encourage people not to bow down, not to yield, not to fold. He's challenging the Ephesian church. This is the church that's in Ephesus, and they're going through some real trials. I ain't talking about our kind of trials. I ain't talking about our stuff. I'm talking about the kind of trials. Have you ever been persecuted? Anybody been persecuted because of your faith? I can't remember. You know what? The only persecution I ever experienced in my entire life of living for God is I put my glasses down. This is in 1982. And I put my glasses down on my desk at work, and somebody took a magic marker and put crosses on my glasses. No, I'm not talking about that. That ain't... These people are going through real trials like the feeding to the lion type trial. You know what I mean? Where they're being tortured or fed to animals, or, you know, they're threatened with death. They are dying. This is not a good scene. The church at Ephesus is going through a huge trial. They're being persecuted for their faith. They're being neglected, kicked to the curb, taken advantage of, beaten, stoned, fed to the lions. And Paul is in prison at this time. And he is writing to them this entire letter to encourage them and help them understand about who they are and what they're part of, the church of Jesus Christ. And it's like he says, step up to the plate and be who you called to be. Some commentators believe that while he is writing this, talking about the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, that they actually believe that he's looking at a soldier outside of his cell. He's looking at a soldier, and he begins to write these things down as far as a Christian soldier. He is talking about warfare. He's talking about fighting. He's talking about being aggressive. He's talking about pushing in. He's talking about making a stand. I mean, if I get off track a little bit today, just roll with me. But can I ask you something? You know, you'd be surprised how easy living for God is if you would just make a stand. If you would just make a stand for what? What are you talking about, Pastor? Yes, I live for Jesus. There she is, as fine as she can be. Perfect skin, perfect hair. She don't have a weave. Man, it's all natural. Her nails are natural. Her body is perfect, and she happens to like you. She's not saved, has no intention on living for God, but she got you in mind because you are living for Jesus, old man of God. I'm talking about the single men here. And she wants a man just like you. And she's talking to you constantly and constantly trying to flirt with you and hit you up. You know what can what will break that? If you, oh, Pastor, I'm so weak. I don't pray for me. I'm not praying for you. That's not the issue. Make a stand. Make a stand. Oh, don't get me on. I always talk about the girls. You know what I mean? Which is the same thing, you know, when the boy's constant, young man, not just the boy, he's constantly harping in your ears, and he's constantly promising life everlasting with him instead of Jesus, you know what I mean? And you're so weak, and you can't make it. How about this? Say these words. I am a born-again believer. Jesus picked me, chose me. I'm saved from my sin. If you want me, you got to come through my God to get me. Come on now. Come on. Make a stand. I'm so weak. Paul says, make a stand. Put on the shield. Take up the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And after you've done all you can do to stand, stand. I don't know if I can take another day. Can I ask you this? If you can't handle this any further, then what are you going to do? You know, when you ever get to that point, I don't know if I can go any further. So it's either you go further and live for God, or you just quit and backslide. Those are the options. I'd rather go forward. Are you with me? Now, anybody gonna leave the church because I messed with you about whining? Okay, and in fact, if I'm wrong, when I'm wrong, stone me. When I'm wrong, all you got to do is say, hey, I don't agree with that, but you got to have reasons. to disagree. Good reasons that you can articulate. Otherwise, you got to say amen. Are you with me? Okay, and as soon as I'm wrong, I'll get out the way, but let's roll with this. Paul, as a good pastor, he had to prepare these people for what was coming and how it was going down. And like I said, Christians were being killed. And like I said, their leader is now locked up. And it's a bad situation and a bad time. And like I said, you know, something about we can become fear-racked. That's the best way I can explain it. You know, like I said, and I'm preaching for, I've been in times and situations, and I'm preaching from my heart after years of living for God, situations I've been in, man, and the fear has gripped me. To where, like I said, these people, they're preoccupied with the present danger. They can't see anything. You can't even receive any advice. Now, I'm not a stupid man. I don't really believe I am. And I think after all the years of living for God, I got some wisdom and some insight as to, especially, you know, for young people coming up. And I would sit, sometimes I see people so messed up and I'm talking to them, I'm trying to encourage them, I'm trying to pump them up and get them on the right track and minister the word of God, but they're so wrapped up in fear, they can't even receive the advice. Fear immobilizes its victim. When you're afraid of a problem, when you're afraid of a situation, when you're afraid of a person, when you're afraid of something that's going to come down, it can absolutely immobilize you. If things are just not right, you can't hear right, you can't see right. I do a lot of reading, and I also watch movies about war, which I particularly like. But one of the things that happened in World War II, and they were talking about how when they were on D-Day, when the great invasion over in Europe, before they would land, that many of the soldiers, as they're standing there, they're urinating on themselves, they're peeing on themselves, and the reason is because they're afraid. They're afraid. We can find ourselves in the same predicament, you know, and because of the wars that we face, you know, whether it's family problems or marriage problems, whatever it may be, and we can find ourselves immobilized and we can't receive advice and we can't get it together and we're going to die. And what about my kids? And what about my job? What about this? What about that? So Paul writes to them and he speaks to them the way the Word of God speaks to us today. Finally, my brethren, or my sisterin, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God is well able to deliver. He's well able to save. He's well able to bring us through. If he's helped us before, he'll help us again. His arm is not too short that he cannot save, and neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He is a God who created it all. All things are created in because of him, and they're held together because of his own desire and his own pleasure and goodwill. There's nothing hard for God, nothing. So why are we afraid? Why are we afraid? You read the Bible, you can see this over and over. It's a pattern. You read, especially in the Old Testament, and you can see as God working with his people, especially when he brought them out of Egypt, and he's taken them to the promised land. And the promised land was the destiny, the purpose that God had for them. But along the way, they kept encountering enemies. Do you think that God knew about it? He knew. And he allowed them to go through it. He allowed it to happen. And it was for the purpose of teaching them to fight, but also showing them how strong he was in their lives. There's lots of things that we go through and God allows us to encounter them. And why God? Why me? Why not you? Why not me? Why not us? Life is life and it's not an easy thing. But God, Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. God gave us promises, pinky promises, so that we would trust him and not worry. And not be disabled in our hearts and our minds, but to stand strong. You read about here Moses. Moses comes to he's fresh, bring fresh victory, fresh deliverance, man, the fresh glory of God. And he's got a million plus people following him out of Egypt. And he's, you know, they're going a certain direction, and he runs smack dead into the Red Sea. The Egyptians are behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. It's a classic story, a classic illustration. And the people are flipped out and wigged out, and they're ready to kill the pastor, Pastor Moses. And God begins to, Moses comes to God, and I like it, man. It just trips me out that he's kind of in a whiny mode too. Moses is trying to get his act together too. And God's words out of Moses' mouth, "Why are you talking to me?" You know what I mean? He says, "Why are you, what's up? What's the problem here? Why are you talking to me? Who are you? Did I not pick you? Did I not call you? Did I not choose you? Did I not anoint you? Did you not see all the miracles I just did? And now because you got the ocean in front of you and you're about ready, don't you?" And God says, "Lift up your hand, lift it up, man," and the water splits. And it says the people walk across on dry land. He allowed them to encounter the problem for a reason. He's allowing you to go through the things you're going through. He wants you to fly. He wants you to soar. He wants you to see him bigger and greater than you've ever seen him and known him before. You know about Gideon and the Midianites, and Gideon has a vast army, and it says that the Midianites have a huge army. And they're like the sand on the seashore. And God says, "Your army," he says, "Gideon, your army is too big." "What do you mean it's too big? These dudes are bad and it's a whole lot of them." And he begins to whittle them down to 300. And the purpose that God did this was simply because he wants to make sure who gets the glory. Who gets the glory in this fight? You know what I mean? Who gets the glory? And so they end up winning a great victory, not because of their numbers, but because God is with them. You know the story of Lazarus, where Lazarus' sister comes to Jesus and he says, "Hey, Lazarus is sick." And Jesus loved Lazarus and spent lots of time with him and Mary and Martha at their home and fellowship there a lot. And so Lazarus is sick, and Jesus intentionally went late. He went and did some other things before he actually went to see Lazarus. And you know the story how he let Lazarus die. He let him die for the purpose of raising him from the dead. You want God to help you, don't you? You ain't dead yet. We want God to help us. Sometimes we ain't dead yet. He says, "I'm coming as soon as you stop kicking, fighting, and screaming, and making excuses and all that. I need you to lay down every weapon. I need you to trust me and believe me and lean on me, and I'll raise you from the dead." God will move for you. He'll move for us. And you know the story of David and Goliath. And David is fighting a man two or three times his size. And he's able to defeat Goliath with a rock and a sling. Because God is the one guiding that rock. Maybe when David threw the rock, it wasn't even going straight, man. It went way over here, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of it and smacked Goliath right inside, right upside his head, because God is the one. It's like Reggie was talking about in the introduction. He says, sometimes we need to just hold still and let God do what he does best. We need to put our trust and our hope and our faith in him. Are you with me? And we need to have enough guts and enough courage to trust him and believe him. And so what Paul is talking about in the word, he says, don't let your fears overwhelm you. We can't let our fears overwhelm us and hinder us and hold us back. March on with courage. Be strong in the Lord, you know, understanding that the outcome of the battle rests on God's performance, not on your skill or your strength. The victory belongs to God. It doesn't have anything to do with your spirituality. It doesn't have anything to do with all you need to do is trust him and believe him and hold on and let God do what he does. It's not depending upon our strength. It's not based upon how much money we have. The victory doesn't depend about the numbers. It's about God and what he does and what he promised to do. So, if we can be strong in the Lord, if we can trust God, the outcome of our life and the outcome of the battle and all that we're facing, if we can leave that into our hands, then we can focus on what makes the difference right now, the task at hand, and that is to be strong. And you can't and you won't be strong if you don't trust God with the outcome. We won't be strong. We'll be whiny Christians, limp-wristed, sissified, bent-over backwards believers. You know what I mean? We're supposed to be the light of the world. And if people in the world, when I say in the world, people outside the church, people who don't know Jesus, when they're going through something and God is backing them up in the corner and they have no hope because they don't have a relationship with God, and then they look at you, can I ask you this? What do they see? What do they see? Do they see this whiny Christian? I'd rather smoke dope than be like you if you're a whiny, unbelieving, doubtful Christian. What makes an unbeliever want to serve God? What makes an unbeliever, you know, just, man, God must be real. You know what makes it real? Your testimony. Your faith. They see you going through it, and they see that you have faith, and you're trusting God, and you're believing Him as if He is real or something. When they look at your life, man, they're looking, they're watching. The sermon is being preached on your job, whether you open your mouth or not. Your family is looking at you. Everyone who knows that you live for Jesus, they're checking you out. And what they're looking for is evidence. Evidence that God is real. And you and I have a responsibility to be what we're supposed to be, even when we're under the gun, that we can keep the victory and we can keep the joy and a smile on our face and we can watch the words of our mouth and our attitude and continue to function, even though all of hell is against us. We have a calling. And the Christian's call is a call to courage. That's the call, man. I'm talking about having some guts enough to really live for God. You know what I mean? So you know what I'm talking about? When I say really live for God, it's like, I don't even care if you're offended by my lifestyle. I live for Jesus. I don't care if you don't like me. Christy didn't tell me. Violet was telling me the story. That Christy, they had something on her job, and they... some kind of talent show. I wish she would have stood up here and give a testimony. And she began, and so everybody got to do whatever talent they had. What does Christy do? She sings on the worship team in a church. And she works at a bank. And it's her turn now. And she sings the song about the river. Is that what it's called? In the river. And you know that song? And in peace, beast, oh man, it was on. Having the courage to speak up and be what you are. You know, you don't stick God in your purse or in your wallet when your unsaved family and friends are around. You know what I mean? You have the guts to speak, to be who you are and to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. It takes courage to live for God. It takes courage to be single. Woo! Takes courage. It takes courage to be single. It, right? Because we live in such a relation, you know, I don't know what the world's about, man. I'm sorry. I'm just old, okay? But you got to have a boyfriend. You got to have a girlfriend. You got to have somebody. I don't want to be
alone. It's easy for you to say, Pastor, you've been married, you know, but.
Before I got married, I was single 3 years. Three years. So, in church, I was a Marine. And my issue was this. And so, you know, like, yeah, you, can I be real if you guys are single? Okay. You do want somebody. You do looking for that one, especially when you come into the church. Then you're trying to find the woman or the man of your dreams, you know. And but guess what, man? I just gave my life to Christ. And I had to, you know, my mind and my heart needed to be on Christ. I had a ton of issues when I came into church. I ain't like you guys. You guys came in perfectly. Man, when I came to the church, I had issues that needed to be worked out. And a girlfriend wasn't going to help me. I needed the Holy Spirit. I did look at Viola with one eye, though. And then when I found out her age, I backed up. I ain't touching that. I had to wait. But I said this. I said, my commitment to God. I said, God, I actually said this. I can't be searching for somebody. I can't do that. I got my mind on you. And you're able to, this is a church full of Marines. This is all men in here mostly. You can raise a woman for me up out of the ground if need be. But I don't have to worry about my single state. Are you with me? I did it. Guess what? I didn't fornicate either. The whole time. Bro, how did you make it? I live for God. The way you're challenged to do. Live for God. And let God work out those details, man. He can work it out. He knows how to sort it out. He knows how to fix it. There's a time. And it takes courage to be single in Jesus. Somebody said, you ain't got to say amen. Don't say nothing. Amen, Pastor Green. I can do it myself. I got it. Are you with me? Okay. Sometimes it takes courage to be alone, because making a stand for God and living for Jesus, you can lose your friends, your closest friends, your closest. I had a roommate, man. His name was Michael Green. Dude wanted, I get me, we were just like this. Same last name, but we were just friends in the military. Got an apartment together, man, and we rolled together. We had a good time together. And I had some other close friends. When I gave my life to Christ, that wasn't what they were about. That wasn't what they were about. We like to party, like to get high, we like to go to the clubs, we like to do all kinds of things. And now I give my life to Jesus, and now I'm done, I'm finished. It's like, it's over, it's done. And I'm telling them about Christ, and they're not getting it to the point where I have to preach it to them. One of them, Michael Green, wanted to fight because I'm telling him about Jesus. He's so mad. My other friends just kind of faded away, and that was that. And I was alone. It takes courage to live for God. Are you with me? It takes courage. And you ain't the only one that has to go through the things that you go through. Are you with me? A cowardly spirit is beneath the lowest duty of a Christian. A cowardly heart, a cowardly spirit. We are people that need courage and determination. If we're going to obey our Heavenly Father, if we're going to obey the commandments of God, it's going to have to take some guts. When Joshua was going into the promised land, you can read it in Exodus, Joshua. And he says, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, I want you to be of good courage. He mentioned courage over and over and over again. He says, I don't want you to look to the left. I don't want you to look to the right. I want you to stay focused on me. He says, if you do this, no one will ever be able to stand before you all the days of your life. But be of good courage, Joshua, to obey all that I tell you. And those words are written down today, and nothing has changed. It takes guts not to fornicate. It takes guts to not to lie and to be honest, to be real. It takes guts to love and to forgive your enemies. It takes guts to come to church when everybody's going to be at the club tonight. It takes guts to tell your family, no, I'm not doing that. Why aren't you doing it? Don't you care about us? We're your family. You care more about that church than you do us. That is not the deal. I care more about God than I do you. It takes guts when the joint's being passed around and you say, I'm living for Jesus now. I'm not taking that hit. It takes courage. It takes courage to believe God. Doesn't it? You got problems. Counseling from friends and family, from those who are not living for God, what they're saying to do runs cross grain of what your spirit is telling you to do. Your spirit is telling you to hold still, to trust and believe. They're saying you need to go get in her face and jack her up. God says, no, you just hold still. You need to hold still. It takes courage to obey God's word. What do you mean you're going to forgive them after all that they did to you? After what they said, after how he cheated on you, how she cheated on you, you're going to forgive them? It takes guts to be a Christian and to live the way God wants you to live. Sinners laugh at Christians praying at times of desperation. You know, I say they don't have a clue as to what's happening. You know, when you're trusting God and believing God and you're still trusting God and you're praying and they go, you know, like I said, they don't get that. They don't understand it. They don't understand us talking to our Father in heaven who meets all the needs of our life, but it takes courage to pray and believe. Can you say amen? I want to finish with this. Cowardice. You know what a coward is. A brave man dies but once, but a coward dies 1,000 times. Heard that said a long time ago. You know, people who live in fear. Everything. Ooh, El Kukui. Is that Kukui? The boogeyman. This and that and now, man. The reality of warfare reveals why there's so many who profess Christianity and so few who are actually Christians. Because it's a fight. Are you guys with, look at me once. One more, I'm going to say it one more time. It's to help you. Christianity is a fight. Paul said in our text, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual fight. It's a fight nonetheless. It's a warfare that we're involved in. You can't be a pacifist and live for Jesus. No, there's an aggression attached to this. A spiritual aggression. The devil is ticked off. He wants you back. He doesn't want you to move forward. He doesn't want you to live right. He doesn't want you to be the light of the world. He doesn't want your words to have weight and power and authority. He doesn't want people to know about Jesus. He needs to get you beat down right now. And so a lot of things that we go through, the problems, the trials that you're facing, even though God allows them, man, they're birthed in hell. And we got to see it that way and call it for that and be willing to rise up and contend with that. Your emotions and your feelings, once again, man, I don't know where this stuff comes on. The other day, I'm ready to cry. Yesterday, man, I was having an emotional, not a breakdown, but man, my eyes is watering up. My wife is talking to me. I was going... my eyes is burning, right? I'm trying to watch TV and something in my eye. I don't know if she's seen it or not. I was like, you know, like this, talking to her. You know, you guys ever have your emotions out of whack? And I am a bad dude, believe me. I am spiritually and emotionally and mentally. But I tell you what, whatever I'm going, and from time to time, man, it's like, who's on me? Get off of me. What is my problem? What is the issues? And like I said, I got a lot of issues. I'm struggling. You know what my trial is right now? You guys want to pray with me? I work a job and pastor a church, and I want to reach the world for Jesus. I want to go back to Africa. There's a couple of people keep begging me and asking me to come to Nepal and India. I can't do it all. I can't. So, I don't know what to do. I'd like to just, one time I was sitting, look, I'm going to get back on track. When I was in Africa a few weeks ago, a month ago, and out in the bush country, in that hut, that mud hut, and I'm thinking about, how can I do this? How can I stay here? I was trying, it was working it out in my mind, how I would tell Viola, I could get her to come with me. could we pull this off? Money wasn't the issue. It's the fact that we'd be out. I mean, but and the reason, let me throw this, the reason that I wanted to do it is because people are responding to the gospel in great numbers. And so somebody has to go. Someone needs to be here to pastor these people, work with these people, preach to these people, minister to them, love them. And I'm saying, I'm trying to figure out, is it me, God? Are you calling me here? Do you want me here? And he's not saying nothing. You know, but I'm talking about the whole, the whole struggle, the whole thing, man, is just weighing on me when I'm at a restaurant now and I'm eating, like I said, and I like to eat and I like to eat good food. But the fact that I'm thinking about these pastors who don't have anything to eat because they don't have money and they're pastors and they're preaching. They can't work and doing both over there in that country. So every time I'm eating food, man, I'm thinking about these guys and beans and rice and lucky if they eat goat, That stuff begins to weigh on me, the financial responsibility. I don't want to just say, oh, yeah, I went to Africa and saw this. No, I want to make a difference. I want to reach the world. Got somebody begging me. When I got a man pleading with me, would you come to Nepal? That's my trials. And so my emotions is all out of whack because I can't do it all. I can't do it. In fact, God ain't releasing me. My assignment is here. This is where I have to be. I got to send you guys. Now, I ain't going. I got to send you. Make disciples. In fact, that's what my wife said. She said, God told me to tell you this. You need to make disciples and send them forth. It's real simple. You guys with me? So, we are in a war. And there are emotions and there's feelings, but you and I have to be brave enough and have enough courage to step up and deal with the things that we have to deal with. We don't put them off. We don't put them to the side. We embrace them. If you're going through a trial, you're not whining and crying about your situation. If it's money, if it's whatever it may be, okay, God, I'm going to believe you. If I'm under the gun right now, I'm under pressure right now, I'm in a crucible right now, I'm in the fiery furnace right now, but the purpose of this trial is so that I can soar and I can fly. You're trying to make me stronger. You're not trying to break me. You're not trying to break me down. You're trying to build me up. Everything that I go through is like putting weights on the bar. I'm done lifting 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 300 pounds. God says, put some more weight on the bars because you're stronger. You're better. I got you. I'm on your side. I want you to believe me more. I want you to get up out of the boat, walk on water more. I want you to take bigger opportunities and bigger chances. I want you to roll the dice and believe me to help you. Even if it don't turn out the way that you want it to turn out, you'll keep doing it. You'll keep fighting. You'll keep trying and you'll keep pressing in. Can you say amen? But whining and crying. We're not going to whine and cry. We will build our church again. We will build and people will be saved and ministries will come up and we'll still reach the San Fernando Valley and we'll launch churches and we'll send people to other nations. It is going to happen. Why? Because we're not going to quit. Can you say amen? Oh, man. And I'm going to slide this in. You know what? And that's being, I'm getting soft. The older I get, the softer I get. And in my preaching, I start sharing my heart. And I don't know if that's good or not, but it is. This is called Keeping It Real Ministries. And so this is the path that we go. We're not playing church, playing religion. We serve a real God with real people with real issues, and we got real answers. Are you with me? One of the things about, and I'm done, is you have to have the courage to love again. If you're new in this church and I don't know you, I would like you to introduce yourself to me if I'm not close to, Don't be afraid to do that, I found myself to be a little, it's like, how can I say? It's like, after certain events that happen, I ain't all that apt to be loving people again. Anybody else here? Don't even answer. I already know you how you feel. After a while, sometimes, man, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Are you real? Are you just here? Do you feel about me the way I feel about you? As far as our church, because this church is committed. If you're new here, guess what? We're committed to you. We ain't dating you. This ain't a quickie. We're in for the long haul. You come to this church, we're loving you. You're part of this ministry. Hey, all your baggage, all your trash, everything that you are, hey, welcome. Come on in. We're going to help each other, love each other, pray for each other, right? Okay. Do you feel the same way about us? Or are you just passing through? Are you just passing through? You're going to get what you can get and then go on. Are you with me? And so the people that are committed, especially the laborers, the workers, and the ministers in this house, we can have a tendency not to want to love anymore. We don't love like we used to. Why? Because of loving people and they let us down. Loving them and they're gone. Or loving them and then they don't make it. They don't survive, you know. Loving and, you know what I mean? If somebody ever break your heart, you ever had your heart broken? I would bring up this old song, but it's so old I can't do it. And I ain't, no, bro, no, no, no. You ain't getting me trapped on that. Look, he said, no, no, you won't even get this. Be beyond you. My mom's the only one that would get it. Maybe Audrey. So I'm not even going to touch it. But I do want to tell you, just because, you know, except one thing, if you were, your heart was broken, doesn't mean that everybody's going to break your heart. If you were stabbed in the back was one person, doesn't mean that everybody's going to stab you in the back. Just because one person let you down, two people let you down, it doesn't mean that they will all let you down. And we can either harden our hearts and protect ourselves, and we can stop being real as Christians. We don't let the Bible says that God would cause living water to flow through us. He would cause living water. Living water has to flow. You have to give it to others. You have to love. You have to forgive. You got to give people a chance. Are you with me? Because if not, you get stagnant. We become a stagnant pool. We don't get any more. We have to enlarge ourselves and let the water flow. I'm talking about we can easily, and I'm talking about those who care. You've prayed for people, prayed with people, discipled people, followed up on people, and yet these people are not living for God today or they're gone today. You and I don't have the privilege of not loving again. Neither does a woman here or a man here, because your relationship ended in flames and sticks and chaos. No, you got to have courage to love. You have to have courage to love again. And we have to love the people that come into our church. We have to love the world the way God loves the world, or they won't be reached. Are you with me? And so we have to, and so loving people is always a risk. To love someone is a risk. It's a risk. I don't care which situation. When you love someone, it's a risk. The way God loves us, it's a risk. The risk is that how that person will respond. But I tell you what, I'd rather be a man of courage than to be a coward when it comes to loving. Can you say amen? Let's do it, folks. Hallelujah. Like every head bowed and every eye closed in reverence to God. We serve a mighty God, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the resurrected Savior, not a dead Savior. He's not on the cross. If you got a tattoo of Jesus, that's okay, but guess what, man? He is a person. You can have him stenciled on the back of your Impala. It doesn't matter. He's a person. He's resurrected. He's alive. He's real. And he's in our hearts. June 27th, 1981, I asked Christ to come into my life. When he came into my life, a Saturday night, I asked him to forgive me of my sins and come in my life, and he did. He did. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know about God. I didn't know about Jesus. I was Christian. I went through Catholic baptism, and when I went to church on Easters and Christmas, it was at a Catholic church. I didn't know anything about God. But June 27, 1981, when I heard the gospel preached for the very first time, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that. I knew I was a sinner from age 5. I can remember being 5 years old and afraid to go to and afraid of dying because I knew it would go to hell, but I didn't know how to get out of it. I did not know how to get out of it. 5 years old. And so here I am, 22 years old. 21, and I'm hearing about Jesus. I hear about the cross. I hear about how Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He took the punishment so that I could be forgiven. And when I, If you want to give your life, the question was this: if you want to give your life to Jesus, raise up your hand. And man, I didn't even care what anybody thought, what anyone said. In that place, my hand went straight up because I wanted forgiveness for my sins. And I wanted my life to change. And I wanted to be different. And I wanted to go to heaven. And I wanted to know God and have a relationship with God. And I was sick and tired of the world that I'm in, man. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what the problem was. But guess what? I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't getting answers. I wasn't finding direction. And when Jesus came into my life, it stopped me dead in my tracks. I found out why I was created. I was created for him, to have relationship with him, the way you are created to have relationship with him. Created for his purpose, for his enjoyment, for his satisfaction. We were created for God. And today, he wants to come inside your life. I'm here today preaching the message of forgiveness and hope for you. You're here today. If you don't know God in a personal way, today's your day. Today's a chance for you to decide to live for Jesus. I'm not talking about becoming religious. I'm talking about being real. A real sinner saying, you know what? I got issues and problems. I got a ton of them. And if God don't help me, then I'm not going to be helped. But he loves me. And so God, because you love me, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to trust you. Here's your first opportunity to express faith. Because you say, you know what? I'm not worthy to come to God. Some people be sitting here and you thinking, I am not worthy. It is not about you being worthy. None of us. The Bible says we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are clean. None of us can stand before God and say, I'm okay. I don't need salvation. All of us are jacked up and messed up. And we need God to help us. So don't worry about being worthy. I'm going to challenge you to express faith. Say, God, you love me? Okay. You died for me? All right. You want to come inside my life? Okay, I want you to come in my life. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. I want you to pray this with me. Everyone who's rolling with me the way I'm going this direction right now, pray with me. Say, Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you to serve you and to do your will. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that is a start. Very simple, very powerful. When I preached that in Africa, to people who had never heard the gospel ever, they said that simple prayer and asked Christ to come into their life. I watched them change. In 4 days' time, I watched a whole community change just by hearing the word of God, by giving their life to Christ, hearing the word of God, turning from their sin. And they had brand new lives in Jesus Christ. If it's in Africa, if Kenya, it doesn't matter what part of the planet, it's all the same. God's here and he loves you today. We're going to take some time. I tell you what, I want to pray for some people. If you need prayer, if you're struggling, like I said, I'm not mocking you about going through a hard time and a rough time. That's all of us. I won't mock you about that. But the thing that gets me is just whining and not believing, complaining and not trusting, going every direction, every other place except to him and finding strength. And so I want to pray for you. If you're going through a rough time, a hard time, if you need prayer, I want to pray for you. The altar is going to be open. All you got to do is come up here and stand, and I'm going to believe God to touch you and minister in your life. The rest of you, you can pray in the seat. Talk to God about what God spoke to you about. Let the Lord God help us today. Let him help us. Put all your trust and your strength in him as we sing, as we worship. You come and find a place to pray. Let God minister in your life.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.